am here to run a police department, not a frat house.
Unfortunately, she's been diagnosed with a brain tumor.
That's not a U.S. president. Okay. That's just the prime minister of Russia defending the president of Russia.
What do you want me to lock everybody up? What is that going to solve?
I am a very ethical person.
I have many Filipino friends. Our children grew up.
Right. Right. I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
No, you silly little flippin' bitch, you got a problem.
Mr. Congressman, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Thank you, I wouldn't dignify you if I peeing on your leg. It wouldn't be worth wasting the urine, but...
Broadcasting from the city of homes and beaches, Steve Tavares is angry.
Oh, Alameda, you are so special. So special, in fact, that after a grueling, hard-fought election just about 5-6 months ago, you said, you know what? We need another one. So coming up next week, the April 9th Alameda special election is coming to you. And if you haven't voted already, vote. You can vote up until Tuesday. Vote early and often. Just kidding. Two ballot measures. The NIMBYs versus the homeless. A group called Friends of Crab Cove. What they want at this area on McKay Avenue, which is by Crab Cove. It's by the water here. It's by the beach. They want open space. It's not open space now, which is one of the problems, but it was labeled that way. And if you get some of their literature, you'll see it's prominently save open space. It's not that, but that's kind of the crux of the problem. That's why Alameda is so special. So here to talk about it is the Vice Mayor of Alameda and one of the signed opponents of what is Measure B, which is to block the homeless wellness center for seniors, is John Knox White. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're opposite. You are on the ballot statement.
Yes, I am.
Opposed. What's the opposition from you and the city towards this Measure B? There's a Measure A, but that's just affirming what this councilor did to zone that area. So I like to focus on Measure B because that's really what's driving this whole thing.
Well, I think that there's a number of things. First and foremost, we're in the middle of a homeless crisis. Everybody right. in town knows it. Everybody in the region knows it. And here we have the opportunity to actually do a little piece of something to help with that, to bring a little bit more compassion into our community. And some folks who, you know, a guy who owns a shopping center, pays $25,000 and tells people he's going to save a park if they sign a piece of paper, and now here we are in a special election.
Right. So that's right. You're referencing who was funding
yes.
that, which is that shopping center at the end of Webster. That's
yeah.
really kind of like, based on how are you coming, around the corner or right next to where this wellness
right.
center
is? It's across the street from the wellness yeah. from a proposed wellness center, right, right? The shopping center is.
Right. That's the place where I noticed that there's a donut shop in there, right?
Yeah, there are a lot of great businesses there. I want to be really clear. The businesses themselves are not taking positions on this and whatnot. This is not right. about those businesses. There is no call to boycott them.
Well, I'm just going on the side. And I love donuts, careful. And I've been there before. And I go in there, it's like, holy smokes, this is the greatest idea ever. They have like, I don't know if it's changed, but it's like Vietnamese Miss Universe works there. They're all, it's like supermodels and donuts. Oh, my God. I'm going off topic.
All right, you just let me know when we're done.
So,
yeah,
let's get back to the.
There are a lot of very good businesses there. I go for breakfast right there across the street. Not the donut shop, but not familiar with the donut shop. But yeah. Neptune's is one of my go-to West End locations.
Some former elected officials like a little drinky kitty corners are there.
Have heard
that's
such.
Another thing. Let's get back to this. So one of the things that the Friends of Crab Cove pointed out there, that there's just going to be the homeless apocalypse. Yeah. All the homeless are going to come from all corners of the land, encampments, I guess, or whatever's going to happen there.
explain how do you refute that claim?
How do you refute that? I guess with knowledge and facts. Unfortunately, this campaign hasn't been really a campaign about what is proposed and is it a good thing or not. It's been about trying to prey on people's emotions and fears. What is proposed is 80 to 90 units of senior housing for formerly homeless individuals. Those people will be selected from the county list. They have caseworkers. The county decides, you know, who is the right person. There's preferences for vets, et cetera. So, 80 to 90 people who, once they move in, it's their forever home. Unless they move out, they move in with family later or whatever else. So, this is not it's not a shelter. I want to be really clear about that. That's one of the scare terms that's being thrown around out there. Then there are 50 beds of medical respite. So these are people who are in the hospital, and when their care is done, currently they're often sent back to shelters. These are people who may need bandages changed twice a day by medical. Homeless shelters are not the place for that.
Right.
So this is a place where people can go and recuperate, right? Get better, be stable while finishing off their very expensive medical treatment that they've just received, and not end up back in the home in the emergency room because a wound that was just healed has now become infected because they don't have what it takes to take care of that.
Right. You know, you hear this out there, and this is something I don't remember when this first started coming up a couple months ago. But they just say, like, well, it's not about those units.
Right.
It's not about that. It's about the place in the front where they're going to, knock down what's there on the in front of the housing units. That building, they'll say, it's about that. It's where, anybody could go, and that's where they're going to camp out. But one of the facts is this is not just some kind of, how this is through the county and how the county works is a kind of like a triage, right?
Right. Is the whether you're going to medical respite or whether you're one of the seniors and whatnot, and all, you're right. Every time you correct a fact, somebody says, well, no, it wasn't about that fact. It was about another fact. Or I'm not going to believe you or whatever else. But the fact of the matter is the only way that you're going to be able to get into this, get services here is either you're going to be one of the seniors who live there, which, as you agree, nobody is against, or you're going to be in a hospital and you're going to have the hospital identify you as somebody who could benefit from this. And you're going to have the respite center identify that you are a good fit for the respite center. And you will be brought in by ambulance from the hospital to finish your recuperation. That could be anywhere from 2 weeks to 6 months until people are ready. And then during that time, they have a caseworker. They're found people. The medical respite center will find housing for the person, and they will be, provided transportation to that place.
You're the vice mayor. You go to other settings with other officials from neighboring cities. Yeah. How do you even explain this? Because that's my thing. That's what I have. I live here. Yeah. I cover here, but I also cover other places.
Right.
I am East Bay, so I can also on the perspective of looking in, and when somebody brings this to my attention, where I'm Fremont somewhere, I struggle to understand, like, what is even their purpose? Where did this even come from? And I struggle. You're an Alamedan. You were very strongly against this. Harsh words months ago in council meetings when you're on the council now. How do you explain this? What is the impetus here? You believe
Measure B?
Yeah, the whole thing.
This is being driven by and funded by people who live next door who have decided that they would like somebody else to live next door to us and are like this, right? The language is, we love the services, it's just the wrong place. This is about people saying, we don't want to live next to a place that houses people who used to be homeless and provide medical services, even though it's right next to the business district, it's across the street from a shopping center, and it's in a place that's been zoned for 70 years. For exactly this type of use.
Yeah. But there's NIMBYs all over opposing projects in the East Bay. That's our part
this
of...
This is happening in San Francisco right now. It's happening in Berkeley right now.
I call it progressive segregation is what I believe it is. But not every group goes and puts it on a ballot. I mean, what do you think this...
How did they, are you the asking state. Me how this got on the ballot? I mean, you know, at the end of the day, because of the history of this, of the other part of this site, right, down at the end, the other end, the actual property that's almost on the water. So you said this is on the water. It's not on the water.
Yeah, yeah.
It's quite a ways away from the water. It's quite a, you know, it's up the street from the water. You know, they successfully collected signatures. Friends of the Crab Cove did. And the city council decided not to fight that. Friends of the Crab Cove at that time was a very different organization. So basically that organization kind of petered out. And when this came up, some people grabbed onto that name and ran with it. I mean, they were some of the people who were involved in that last one, but yeah. It is not the same. That was a large community-driven process that the council said, you know what, we hear very clearly from the community that they want to do this. They went out and they collected signatures. This is a group that of just a few people who paid $25,000 to get signatures.
Right. I guess what I'm asking is, like, this is what I struggle with. Does this say anything about, like, Alameda values? It's a small amount, but... of people, but from the outside looking in.
We'll know on the 9th.
Yeah.
You know, and look, I don't want our community to be characterized by a small group of people who have put this on the ballot. And, you know, it's not a large group of people who are running around really working on this campaign. Right. But we'll know at the end of the day whether or not our community can see through the lies and whatnot that are being spread about this and vote appropriately.
Well, I guess it'll lead me into, like, election nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
So who in the right mind is going to take time to vote? That's going to be the problem. And then what happens is... everywhere when you have low turnout, and this is going to be super low turnout, that's when crazy things happen. That's how Trish Spencer became the mayor. Low turnout,
right?
They produce kind of odd, surprising results. What's the worry here? I mean, this seems like to be a slam dunk. There's a lot of this group is being vilified in the community, like personally, I believe too, which is leading them to kind of shy away from coming out in the open too much. As I wrote a couple weeks ago, what if everybody in that area who thinks they have skin in the game around Crab Cove, on McKay Avenue in that area, what if they're the ones energized and they go vote in big numbers and nobody else bothers because, you know, it's just, what is this? I thought we just voted two things. I don't have time for that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's... You say, what if that happens?
I don't want to jinx it for you.
But if you want to say, what if that happens? Well, then Measure B will likely win. But I do think that what's different than the time that Ms. Spencer was elected mayor, at that point in time, there wasn't a huge ground game of people who were really, I mean, there were people working and whatever else, but there, I think what is different is that actually our community has stepped up and there are a lot of volunteers who are spending a lot of time really working hard, knowing that that is a potential result. I think that... what happened, one of the things that happened with the Gilmore Spencer race that you're talking about is that not only was the campaign a little lackluster, but there were a lot of people who just assumed it was kind of a done deal and didn't need to vote. On this one, I don't think that that's going to be the case. I think that people are, it's heated, right? It's probably one of the more heated campaigns I've seen in town in a long time. And I think we'll see people show up.
Do you have any estimate? Personal, at least, or any knowledge of what could be turnout, like a percentage?
I mean, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, right now we actually have more vote by mail ballots submitted to the county now than were actually counted before the results were released in the midterms. So that could either be a function of everybody knows how they want to vote and they're voting early, or it could be a function of the fact that we're actually going to see a pretty high turnout in this. In both cases, I think you know, we've got a good chance that this is not going to be a low, uninformed turnout.
I could guess that on people that go actually to the polls, like I do, on that Tuesday, it's going to be minuscule.
That is probably true
because I'm even thinking like, ugh. But you can go on the weekend over at South Shore Center. You can go on the weekend. I think it's like 9 to 3.
Yep,
I might do that.
Yeah,
you know, and then go get some, you know. It's a, Five Guys Burger.
Yet another opportunity to pitch the idea that vote by mail is pretty darn good, and it's the same ballot, so you don't miss out on any experience, and you don't you can file it the day of the election. So that was kind of the turning point for me, and it's actually pretty convenient to have your ballot at home, be able to fill it out in the comfort of your own home, and then you walk out on voting day and turn it in.
What are your thoughts on the idea that was again proffered by one of your old rivals, former mayor Spencer, when she went to the Alameda County Central Committee and told them that actually this is not a NIMBY situation. Actually, you can't be a NIMBY if you don't have a backyard. I mean, that's true, right? Technically.
Yeah, I'll take that as a rhetorical question.
I'm asking my question.
No, I mean, honestly, on the face of it, if that's the argument you're making, you really don't have much of a case to be made for your own, for the thing you're trying to claim. And you know, those are the types of arguments you make when you make an argument that you're trying to save open space and people point out that there are 11 buildings that have existed there for 70 years and were built for housing and want to be repurposed for housing. You end up having to spin and attack people. And try to push back on what you're doing, which is trying to stop something, right? I think that was just a very inartful and unthoughtful comment. But it indicative.
No, it's going to be a T-shirt.
And it's indicative of the types of comments we continue to hear and see.
Do you think I can get people, you know, $20-$25 a pop and buy that T-shirt?
At least a couple.
It might be enough.
Cafe Press, man.
Yeah.
You don't need to put much money in there.
Hey, I got some people, you know, give me a deal out there.
Yeah.
No.
The problem is that I think in order for somebody to buy that T-shirt, they'd have to understand the ridiculous situation it came from. Nobody would want to, you know, wear that. Well, it's not an ironic T-shirt.
It's the beauty of it. You can take it as the face of it or as ironic. Yeah. That's the beauty of it.
NIMBYs everywhere will buy the you can't be a NIMBY if you don't have a backyard. Apartment dwelling, Yeah.
How is this not just a group that's basically anti-government? Because on the face of it, if Friends of Cramp Cove were really angry about this project, they should be yelling at the East Bay Regional Park District. Yet, you know, it was under their purview. They're saying this measure that was passed, that was money was set aside for this. And so
that's not true,
that
though.
They did. Well, that was their argument. So why don't you go and they did go talk, you know, yell at them a little bit. Then they changed course and they come into Alameda, which is like, you're barking up the wrong jurisdiction here. Is that to lead you to believe that this is just on the face of it, at the base of it, anti-government? We don't like what City Hall does. We don't like what they do. You know, the firefighters. And here comes the fire truck. I bet you they're just going around the corner, screwing around.
Definitely heard it. Absolutely. Look, I think the Venn diagram of the camp you're describing, or people who have to hold that perspective, and people who are involved in this campaign is probably a lot of overlap.
Yeah.
I like to be a little careful ascribing everybody who is. Feels passionate about this issue is coming from a single point of view. You know, why did they not go to East Bay Regional Park? Because East Bay Regional Park, we have the paperwork. Long before WW passed, they knew this wasn't land they were going to ask for. That's not what WW was for, right? When they signed the agreement to buy the other half of the land from the federal government, they signed it an agreement that they would never ask for it because they didn't want it. So, you know, they could go yell at East Bay Regional Park, but then it would destroy their whole false argument that somehow, Measure WW was supposed to purchase this and turn it into a park. Yeah. I want to be careful. What they say is we understood that we were doing this, and they may have understood, or they may have been under the misunderstanding that WW was supposed to buy this land, but... but also interestingly, I think, we talked a little bit about the cost of the special election and whatnot. The city council waited a full week to put this on the ballot as a special election in order to give us some time to sit down with the Friends of Crab Cove and talk about what their concerns were and really work out an agreement that we would make sure that we address those concerns. And the group just out and out just refused to respond to us under the advice of their attorney. So they're not interested in addressing concerns and addressing these issues. These are people who live right next door who are trying to, you know, have a direct impact on what's happening across their street, and they've dragged our city into it.
Right. They didn't want to respond for the story I wrote about this a couple months ago for Alameda Magazine. They didn't want to respond either, which was, I just thought it was kind of odd. And it was, unfortunately, the day that story went to the printer was the day where former Mayor Spencer said all that stuff to the Central Committee, which she basically said, she answered everything I needed, but was already went to the printer, which was basically, there's no plan for what happens if this thing wins, no plan for the homeless, no plan for the parks.
Yeah. Initially, this was going to be a park. Then somebody pointed out that if it's zoned open space, you can't have buildings on it. And it's full of buildings. Well, we'll rip them down, or maybe it'll, but you don't have, you know, when pointed out, well, there's no money for that. Well, we'll rip them down. And at that meeting, you know, Mayor Spencer said, well, maybe we'll use it for bus parking and a bus turnaround for people from outside of Alameda to come to the park. You know, just the convoluted arguments that get made around this, around like, you know, somehow we can't serve certain regional interests, but then we want to keep this for serving regional interests is kind of mind boggling.
Yeah. You know, I hear it a lot of places. They were going to put a spot for homeless people in Hayward. And you had a council member in Hayward saying, quizzing, like, are other people going to come here?
Right.
Do we? You know, so it was only going to be this person's perspective. It's on record. Councilmember Francisco Zermeno. So he asked, like, right. You know, are they going to come from Castro Valley? You know, because this should be for Hayward. If we're going to do it at Hayward, so it's pervasive in a lot of cities. So
there are reasonable concerns to be had. Like, I understand, right? I work on Market Street, and I get to walk through Mid Market a lot. I understand what people are concerned about. On the other hand, we live in a community and in a society. And, you know, if you don't walk down that street and think, holy cow, we have failed as a society, we need to do something.
Right.
You know, I don't know what to say.
Right.
What this is about is whether or not we are going to step up and do something and take that brass ring. And right. Here we have an right. opportunity to vote to say we want to be a part of the solution. Or we can say, you know what, we're worried about other things.
Right. So once again, I'm with Vice Mayor of Alameda, John Knox White. And so don't forget to vote on April 9th. While I have you, I want to talk about, I guess we would call it the precursor to homelessness. Just this week.
Is it housing?
Yes. What you guys did on the city council on Tuesday night was amazing. Breathtaking. You just basically said, here's all the bag of rent protections, and you just threw it on the table, and here you go. And it looks like there's votes. It sounds like there's clear votes to have all this be approved, like cap on rents, just cause. There's four votes there. You could even, if somebody wanted to hem and haw, and you still have three. Like, this is going to happen in a couple months. What does this say about, you know, elections? Because you guys were, as I noted in my story on it, you guys look confident. It's like there was no, it was just unequivocally work for the, you know, for helping renters.
Look, in 2016, the city council kind of, you know, started this discussion, and they put what is known as Ordinance 3148, our rent stabilization.
I want to stop you there. Why do we say this, Ordinance 3148?
Because it doesn't have another name.
It's like you're talking about the, you know, the what Frank, the internment camp, Roosevelt, like, doesn't have, like, they say it by the number. It's like, this is so weird. Only Alameda. So special.
I think it because 3148 was passed, and then they passed 3180, and 3180 was referendumed. And since there's
nobody uses the numbers.
How do you decide which rent stabilization ordinance you're talking about? That's why I think it, my experience is that it came from that discussion, because you had to be able to talk about one or the other.
It's like, this was Alameda interned all the Portuguese Americans at Ordinance 3148.
Very uncomfortable with the.
It's so weird. I'm just saying, nobody does
the connection you're making.
Nobody does this anywhere in the East Bay anywhere.
So Alameda has a rent stabilization ordinance, and it gets passed in 2016. And, you know, it's our kind of first foray into this conversation. And people are worried that, you know, mass exodus of units off the market, all this other stuff. And so I think people were being a little careful. I think what we've learned in the intervening years is twofold. First off, people are getting rents and being priced out of the market still. because even though the rent stabilization provided a high rent, it wasn't a cap, but it was kind of a rent ceiling unless you want to go through a bureaucratic process to go higher. Basically, people started saying, oh, 5% every year is acceptable. People started who weren't getting rent increases started getting 5% rent increases.
Right.
And then the other thing is people are still getting no-cause evictions. And I think Measure K was a real referendum on do we want to do something? Is our city going to be the kind of place that looks out for those most vulnerable? And so... you had people who were elected very handily in this election who were also very aligned with Measure K, or against Measure K, I should say.
Right.
And so at this point in time, we kind of know where the tweaks are. The tweaks are big or whatever. And if you're suggesting, you know, if you are somebody who believes that we need to be ensuring that people are not kicked out of their home for no reason, you know, there's no real place for us to go.
Right.
So I think let's just move forward and put this behind us because we've passed protections for over half of our population.
On the 5%, it's kind of, what you're saying is kind of morphed into the floor, as one council member said, 5%. And I can attest as an Alameda renter that since that ordinance, I've gotten 5% all the time. But I will add.
Yes.
My landlord, who I've never seen in my life, it could be you actually.
It could not be me.
That guy over there.
No.
But anyway, they're fine. But it was getting like, you know, it was like 7 or 8. So it has gone lower because of this.
Great.
And on a positive side, at least you know, like you can account, right? You know, I need to pull myself up by the bootstraps and work harder because, you know, in March, it's going to go up 5%, you know, whatever, $80 or something like that. But it has become floor, and I've been hearing that a lot from people that that's just like, well, 5%, do it 5%, then
So I think that there are people like you who have seen it go from 7 or 8% to 5%, so it's helped.
I also have mold all over the bathroom because somebody thought put a bathroom with wood around it and just paint it over. So recipe for disaster. So I do have emphysema probably underlining.
I'm sorry.
I can understand how I'm going off here.
Really?
But like personal, but you know, when I hear people say like, you know, you really don't want to like bring it up to the landlord, even though I think we have a good landlord.
Right.
But you don't want to bring it up because you're thinking, I bring up this, you know, hey, this bathroom and the mold and they're going to raise the rent.
We hear that over and over and over again. People don't want to bring it up because A, the rent might get raised, and B, you might just be considered a problem tenant and kicked out. And, you know, that's not right.
Yeah.
That's not right. People should be able to live in homes that are, you know, cared for and whatnot. Yeah. I mean, you know, renters have, you know, expectations of caring for the homes that they're renting as well, right?
Right.
You don't trash it and then expect the renter. But, I mean, that's not a thing that really happens very often. So
here's a big question, because I did notice on Tuesday night that it was packed.
Yep.
The council was packed. Started at 5 o'clock.
Yep.
It kind of bifurcated because he didn't finish it in 2 hours. So it was a little bit later and finished it off. I saw maybe like 4 or 5 landlords or people that I recognize as landlords. I don't even think all of them spoke.
No, I didn't.
They're not going to go quietly. What do you handicap what you think is going to happen next? They could sue. They could put in a referendum. They could.
You know what? I think I'm very hopeful, right? We can look at the national stage and see how every action causes a equal and greater outsized reaction.
Right.
At a certain point in time, that has to stop. And my hope is that Measure K, which was, you know, $600,000, $700,000 on a losing thing. My hope would be that there can be an understanding that probably a referendum is not going to win.
Right.
The landlords and the property managers who seem to care the most about this have the polling data that shows that 76% of Alamedans support just cause.
Right.
76% of voters. They're not going to win that vote. So... you know, my hope is we can put it into place, and if there are tweaks we need to make so that it, you know, works out fairly for everybody, you know, we'll make those tweaks, and our city can look at it. We didn't put it in the charter, so we can tweak it as necessary.
Right. You got to.
So yeah, plenty of other cities have this, and you know they have rentals on the market. People are renting. You know, landlords. I heard that our current rent stabilization is so strict that people are selling their buildings and getting out of the rental business. They're taking markets off. Well, down the street, I have a two-unit that used to be an owner-occupied two-unit. Realtor bought it. Now it's two rental units.
Right.
So, it's clear we're clearly not at a place where we're impacting the market in a significant way. What we need to be doing is building some housing and offsetting the extreme rise in housing costs.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. I will add, when you're on the Steve Tavares' Angry Podcast during the campaign, of the 26 episodes of the first season, yours was by far the most listened to. You're the champ. You are a ratings gold, man. Trump would love you.
Wow. That's I didn't know that until you told me right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you were by far, it was the most, and that was one of the things, like, I was like, well, he's going to win. He's going to get first. Because there's just like too many people who wanted to listen. They were going, say, I'm going to spend 30 minutes even more with this guy.
I seem to recall that we talked about my mom in there. Do we know if a lot of those listens came from the Seattle area?
Yes, there was a lot. Yeah. I just thought it was maybe Bill Gates. I thought Bill Gates is in. Yeah, maybe he's going to be the
my
new.
My mom's got a lot of fans, so that could have been the draw.
Yeah, you're like David Letterman. Your mom was more popular than the actual host of the program, late night show.
I had forgotten about that.
Yeah, she's gone too. R.I.P. Dave Letterman's mom.
Yes, it was a.
But again, thank you, Vice Mayor of Alameda, John Knox White.
Thanks for having me. I look forward to coming back.
And for everybody else on the treadmill again and working out while you're listening to this, and for the guy cutting the lawn, don't forget to put oil in your lawnmower. It's very good for your lawnmower. And for you on the elliptical, keep going, keep going. You're gonna be beautiful later. You're gonna be getting new outfits. And in the meantime, don't forget to go to East Bay Citizen, ebcitizen.com, and check it out on Twitter, East Bay Citizen, and Facebook / East Bay Citizen. And don't forget, you can also donate. Go to the ebcitizen.com page on the right-hand side. You can easily donate and keep this going. The powerhouse of the East Bay media landscape. In the meantime, I'm Steve Tavares, and I'm angry. You should be too.